Okay, good evening. This is regular meeting of the Derby Board of Apportionment and Taxation. The date is Tuesday, February 27th, 2024. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6:05 p.m. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Present.
Rainey Nizzo.
Here.
Mr. Gray.
Present.
Mancini Wright.
Present.
Carilli Silcock.
Present.
Ms. Patel. Mr. Rivera.
Present.
Ms. Simmons Derby. Ms. Simon.
Present.
And Ms. Wago.
Present.
Okay, thank you very much. Any additions, deletions, corrections, adoption of the agenda? I have none. Do you? There are none. I'd like to open up public portion. Would anybody from the public like to speak? I am not surprised.
Did you do that right?
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Town Clerk. Look at that. It just does everything. Audio, visual.
And we have a working monitor.
There you go. Look at that. Very fortunate. Very blessed. Madam Chair, members of the Tax Board. I was going to get to that, but thank you. Madam Chair, members of the Tax Board, my name is Jim Gilday, 11 Academy Hill Road. I just wanted to do it the order I wanted to do it. Thank you. 11 Academy Hill Road, Derby, Connecticut. What an exciting time to be here. Certainly very exciting. Haisa, how are you? Very exciting to see a blend of carryover faces and new faces. And a wonderful time to be you guys, actually. New administration, new time. And so I'm very excited to work with all of you on your budget. And that's what it is. It's your budget. And so I hope each one of you will ask questions. Certainly tonight, you're getting a lot of information tonight, so we're more than prepared to come back. But it's important that you understand our budget and each budget before you, because again, at the end of the day, you are the 10 entrusted with voting on this budget. And you are the 10 who have to go out to the community to justify your vote, explain your vote. And if there's any one message here, it's your budget. So, we are asking for a 6% increase, which is $1.1 million. And I'm not going to get into the presentation by any stretch. Dr. Conway will do that. But I do want to highlight 6% is a lot. $1.1 million is a lot. But three of the last 6 years, we got a 0% increase. And another one of those years, we got a $60,000 increase. So four of the last 6 years, our net increase for a school system was $60,000. I know we have a surplus. I know times are tough, and I understand that. But similar to each one of our households, if we get laid off or if our wife loses a job or if we lose income, our mortgage is still due. Our electric bill is still due. And we still have to pay the obligations that are ours. So I think when you get to Dr. Conway, you will hear about special education costs. We have done remarkable work there. We have learning centers that save $3 million a year, but our special education costs still continue to rise. You'll hear about our ARP ESSER funds going away. Funds that we use to sustain our operating budget, because when you get $60,000 in 4 years, you use the fund, you use your grants that you're not supposed to use for operating budget that we did, and those are going away. I respect each and every one of you. I respect the difficulty that you will have. I know there are no easy decisions. I know you have a hard job. I respect you. I honor the work that you do. I'm grateful that we have wonderful people like you to serve in our community. I wish you the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just to the record should reflect that Bamini Patel entered the meeting at 6:06 p.m. and Issa Simmons Derby entered at 6:07 p.m. So we all 10 members are present tonight.
Thank you. Does anybody else from the public wish to speak? Anybody from the public wish to speak?
Third yes. And final. No, I'm here. Karen Temesis, 25 John Street. How are you this evening?
We are good. How are you?
I'm very well. I share with Mr. Gilday the fact that we're giddy with excitement, thinking that this budget season is going to be very productive. You have a great group that are going to work together, and that's a blessing to the city. What I am going to say, though, is that unfortunately, once again, were burdened with an uncovering of something that we did not foresee, did not budget for. About 5 years ago, we had to do all kinds of adjustments, and that room was filled to the gills, standing room only, because people were up in arms. Tonight, they're not up in arms, but yet still you're having to deal with $2 million that you did not expect to do. I would ask that you, of course, approve what the interim finance director is suggesting, because that's your only option. And I don't see any problem with doing so. But what I also ask is that you approach the mayor and ask him to instruct Corporation Council to look over the language that is in the charter and in the ordinances so that we can tighten up our financial basis. We have the finance committee that's approving payments on things that we did not have money for. And that, I thought that was their first and primary charge, was that they're supposed to review every purchase and make sure that there's funds available before they sign off on it. This budget that you're going to be reviewing, 22-23 or 23-24, has a number of over expenditures, as did 22-23. That should not happen. So we have to button that up, and we have to make sure that the finance committee does not have the ability to just arbitrarily approve contracts that the Board of Aldermen, Board of Aldermen do not approve. So that's what I would seek, that we get our house in order and get everything so that we can move forward and have everything done safely and securely and be good for the taxpayers of the city of Derby. Thank you.
I apologize. Well, just one thing for the record. I will distribute to you. There was a question about contracts, and there was a lot of like in 2023, a lot of erroneous and misinformation around contracts and who is authorized to sign them. The chart is very clear, both in Section 10 with the mayor's authorities and in Section 27 or 29, they've changed. They talk about the authority to approve contracts. And there's actually also a written, written, thoughtful legal opinion from Corporation Council that said any contract that was approved without the approval of the Board of Aldermen is void. So I'll make sure that you have that. And It's relatively new, but just that it came up, I just want to make sure that you're aware of it.
I'll make a motion.
Isa Simmons, I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? The motion Item number 7, update from the interim finance director.
You know, I don't have any new updates for those of you that attended or listened in on the Board of Alders meeting. That was a very productive meeting. They agreed with the reduction for the retirement fund that we were going to be funding. So I hope that the Board of Taxation will also agree with those and we can get some of these transfers closed out. I think also there's a lot more clarity around ARPA and what to do there. So I look forward in the coming weeks of landing on that so that we can really solidify the city's financial position and offset a lot of these budget problems that unfortunately we're working through right now. Thank you.
Item number 8, the 2024-2025 budget presentation by the Board of Education. Dr. Conley.
Good evening, everybody. I too am very excited to be here tonight in person to present our budget. It's been a few years since we've been able to do it in person. And what I usually do is ask the committee how you would like me to go through it. It's a 28-page document. I can go through it page by page. It does not take that long to go through as we go through it. I can answer questions as we go, or if you want to hold some questions until we go through the slides, if that's your preference, some of them may be answered as we go through other slides. So there's a lot of information in here, but we can walk through, run through, or do it however you would like.
I think we could go through page by page. For me, it's more helpful if we could ask questions as we go.
Sure.
If we see that it's taking time, then we could maybe readjust.
Okay, very good. Awesome. And I realize you just got this yesterday, so there's no expectation you've even had a moment to even look at it. So please, as we go, if you need me to pause, go back to a slide, just please ask me. We jump right into the budget. As you heard from my chairman, Gilday, we're looking at a 6% increase this year. What I'd like to do is kind of share the story behind the 6%. We're going to show you the budget by both location as well as by object. And as I go through these different slides, things you see in locations now get broken out into objects, and there's more detail as we go through the slides to explain what's behind some of these numbers. But I'll move at your pace. So if this, yes.
So I think that is actually at the back end of the
You need to put your mic on so it'll pick up.
So that slide is like 6-7 pages in.
Yeah, page 8. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. 8 on this. It might be 7 on.
Okay.
7 on yours. It's 8. Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions on this so far?
I did have a question with respect to special education, and certainly I do understand, especially in my role as a labor representative, significant cost of special education. There is a 20 0.65% increase in special education. Is that from projected increase in flux of students, or is that?
It actually reflects today's budget. So what we've done this year is the amount of funding we're requesting for special education is actually flat funded to what we're currently spending. So it's a 3.18% increase over last year, but it's flat funded to what we are dealing with today in terms of students in our district. So the large portion of that percentage that you see, the 20.6, is due to the tuition cost of students who are outplaced. So they're outplaced at a specialized private and or public special education program. And this is the reflects the increased cost in tuition, as well as the additional students we've received since last year's budget. But it's really the number you see there today is flat funded to what we're currently paying as a result of our responsibility to service kids who come into district even after you passed your budget last year.
The mic, please.
Hello. Okay. Just to focus a little bit on the outplaced special, is that like when families move?
No, the outplacement is students who moved into district.
Mm-hmm.
And the child of that family that has moved in is outplaced in a program for special education services.
Okay.
From the district that they're coming from.
And what is the percentage of kids do you have?
We have currently 30 kids in outplaced programs at this particular time.
Okay, thank you.
Out of the 310 students in special education students in district. And I'll share that because you brought up moving in. So we do find statistically nationally, mm-hmm. those families that tend to be have a higher rate of mobility also have a higher rate of special education identification and need for services. And here in Derby, we have a high transient population due to the type of housing that we have in Derby. So as apartments get vacated, somebody else moves in. Mm-hmm. And we just don't know when they move in, are they going to have kids? If they have kids, what are the services that those children need? And then we have an obligation, regardless, to provide them. Some we've budgeted for, others it's impossible to budget for.
Yeah, because you never know who's going to move in.
You got it.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
All righty. Moving on, this just shows you, again, budget by location in a graph form. And this shows you the change in budget 1 year over the next, just in a graph form. This shows you that same chart, but gives you the numbers behind it. So as you can see, this is broken out by object, and we'll get into more detail in further down in the presentation, breaking out these different objects for you as well. But you can see where some of the increases and decreases are coming from. But I don't want to necessarily jump to now where you might see a large increase or even a decrease. You have to look at the budget overall. A decrease in one area might be reflective of an increase in another area. So if somebody was under contracted services, but now we brought them in-house as our own employee, you might see a decline in contracted services. If you then look at our certified or non-certified salary line, you might see an increase. So we might have brought them back into district at a savings and or neutral, but that could be some of the reason for the negative and positive that you see in these columns. But overall, it's a 6%. And what I'm showing here is what I just started to discuss is out of that 6%, 3.19 is for our special education services alone that we are 100% obligated to provide to our students. And that's using today's numbers of who we have a responsibility for
in district today for special education services. The 2.81 for the non-special education, you'll see in the presentation, is predominantly salary, contractual salary increases for all of our contracts, certified, non-certified, but for all areas, as well as what you've heard discussed tonight already, and what Mr. Gray has brought up year over year, bringing back into the operating budget frontline staff for our classrooms that are currently sitting in ARP-ESSER grant funds, because we've failed to provide the funding for them. And I fully get the reasoning behind the why, but we have been unable to provide the funding to provide them in our operating budget. Unfortunately, the past 3 years, we had ARP-ESSER funding that is, as of June, is gone. So we've brought those necessary classroom teachers and paraeducators and back into the operating budget where they belong to begin with. And the reason why they ended up in grants, just a quick history, some were on the board, some weren't. But over the past 8 years, enrollment, out of six of the past 8 years, enrollment went down at Bradley School. When I arrived here in 2012, every grade K through five had three classes. Due to a decline in enrollment and doing the responsible thing, as enrollment went down, we reduced every grade level, K through five, from three to two. That's six less teaching positions that we were funding. In the past 2 years, enrollment for Bradley started to go up. First, second grade, then second, third. And for those times where we had to bring those teachers back because we had to go back up to three classes in a grade level, we didn't put the money in the operating budget, and we had to rely on grant funds, and that's just not where they belong. And now those grant funds are going away. So we have nothing left to do but bring them back into the operating budget at this particular point. But that's what really represents that 2.81. So it's salary, contractual salary increases, but it's bringing those positions back into the operating budget where they belong. This just breaks it out into different, this is by object, the graph of by object, and we're going to get into the by object in terms of the actual numbers as well. But this gives you an overall picture of what's driving the budget. So if you look at certified salaries, non-certified salaries, you can see those two combined make up more than half your budget. But the other piece of it is other purchase services. So in other purchase services are your substitute teachers, are your services that we've contracted for, as opposed to them being our employees. And that could be physical therapy, that could be paraeducators and RBTs, that could be a BCBA, that could be a social worker at any point in time. If the contracted service, if we can do that more efficiently, and it's not necessarily long-term, we might do a contract as opposed to hiring. And in other cases where we can't find people to fill the positions, we'll contract with one, two, three other companies that provide personnel in those service areas. So there's salaries in that other purchase services as well. It literally takes up more about 70% of your budget overall when you look at those other areas. And those are through, again, contracted wages that we have to pay. This gives you where's our largest increases in this budget coming from. I'd say any paper you pick up, but any article you read online with regards to education budgets, whether it's here in Connecticut or any other state across the country, the number one is today is going to be special education. It's across the board, hitting all districts in all states. And it's the cost of the services, even if they're in-house. So we've done, as the chairman mentioned, a tremendous job due to our amazing staff of building in-house programs to provide these services. People used to ask, how come your in-house special education budget is going up? Because we're adding more staff to it. But at the same time, trying to keep down the out-of-district placement costs. So what you see today for out-of-placement costs is nowhere near what it would be. It's $3.5 million less than what it would be if we didn't build those in-house programs that we have today in our schools. But it is still the number one driver in an increased budget and pretty much any budget you look at across any district. Next is, as I've spoken to, the certified salaries. So certified, non-certified. So these are contractual obligations. We think we have negotiated incredibly fair contracts that are a balance between making sure that our family is taken care of. At the same time, we're not losing them to the town next door because of higher salaries. So we are very conservative, I would say, but a balanced approach to trying to maintain the services that we have. And that means keeping the family members here at home in our family. So the other piece is transportation and office supplies to a minimal amount. The things where you're going to see reductions are utilities, the two big things, utilities and transportation fuel. So utilities overall is because we are part of a consortium with other districts to be able to go out and get a group rate on our utilities. And that's a locked in price. So if you think of going with, say, UI, where that price could go up and down throughout the year, or every 6 months at the minimum. Then you think of somebody like Think Energy or any other of those other third-party companies that you can lock in at a particular price with if you want. So we've locked in at a price, so we know what they will be for our utilities, and we do that with several other districts throughout the state as part of a consortium. So we've seen some savings there in comparison to current year. And the others are much smaller, but software licenses, we've reduced the software that we have been using in the past. If it wasn't getting used as much as it might have been at the beginning, if they've replaced it with something else, we've removed those licenses from the budget. Student enrollment, this is very small to look at if you're looking up here as opposed to the paper in front of you, but this is for current October 1st, 2024, and 2025. Overall, not a big change in the enrollment. It's a total change of about 15 students. And really, that's a reflection of our projected enrollment in K-1-2. K, because of a new state law that just passed, that you now have to be 5 by September 1st, as opposed to January 1st. And when you go back, you know, 5 years, year over year, that'll impact anywhere from 10 to 20 students in our district whose birthday falls between that September and January date. So it'll mean possibly a smaller kindergarten class. It'll mean less number of kids coming out of our pre-K into kindergarten or any other childcare program in the area. And that also means less kids going into the pre-K program. So the numbers in the pre-K don't change, but the numbers in the kindergarten could potentially go down by that number. And we've reflected that in a reduction of staff as well due to the lower enrollment in the overall budget. In fact, we have multiple teacher roles. You'll see in a future slide with the with reduction based upon those enrollment numbers. So we look at these very carefully. We monitor them throughout the year, throughout the summer, to make sure. But where we sit right now, we're reducing the overall teaching staff as a result of a lower enrollment, which provides the opportunity to then bring teachers back into the budget where they belong. This is continuing by object. This, that other slide you saw back on 8, where it had it was basically the broad look at object. This gets a little bit more detail. So the areas in blue are the objects that you saw in that previous slide. All the things above it break it out a little bit more. So if you have any questions within an object code, what goes into that particular object, these particular charts will inform you of what actually goes into those. Any questions on these at all?
So if I'm looking at under the first section row, library media, there's a reduction 100%.
Yeah.
Why is that?
We actually moved the library media specialist into an Alliance grant. So from operating into Alliance. And the reasoning behind it is, and as the chairman says, 6% is a lot. But we're trying to do things the right way. A classroom teacher, as opposed to some other positions within our district, doesn't belong in an operating budget. Quite frankly, a library media specialist doesn't either, but it's not a core classroom teacher. So we can justify a library media specialist being supported by the Alliance District grant. It wouldn't be seen as supplanting, as I'll show in a future slide, that we can't do with the Alliance grant funds. So those roles and positions that we can support in Alliance based upon the eligibility of Alliance funds, we've made those adjustments and those moves. Those positions that really absolutely should be in your operating budget, we've moved into the operating budget.
If I'm also looking under coaching extracurricular stipends, there's an increase of 29.85%.
And if I could just for myself ask, which line was that?
Second row item, I think non-certified salaries.
Yeah, those are extra stipends. Those could be several different things, but six period class, for example, is an additional stipend. Several of our positions within our district are stipend up and above a salary that by contract that a teacher or others might receive as a result of an additional role that they're taking on within the district, up and above their teaching role or other role.
So what would cause, you know, that kind of significant increase?
In past years, it might have been paid for out of a salary line as opposed to where it really should out of a stipend line. Okay. Each year, what we take the time to do is make sure people are actually being budgeted out of the area in the budget they're supposed to be. And sometimes when somebody goes as a regular teacher and takes on a stipend position, and we don't separate that out within the budget, then they continue to get paid the stipend, but it might be coming out of a salary line as opposed to a stipend line. This is just a correction in where people actually are funded out of, or what portion of their pay is funded out of.
Dr. Conrad, hi, this is Bamini Patel.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic, thanks.
That's great to hear. Just a quick question that I had for you is, I see the private schools on, like St. Mary's and St. Michael's on the budget, and maybe I'm just, you know, maybe I'm forgetting why they are on the budget if they're private schools. Like, what capacity does the town help them in?
No, that's a great question. Statutorily, the public school in the district that a private school is also in, like St. Mary, St. Michael's, we have a responsibility for special education and nursing in those districts, for those schools. Transportation, nursing, and special education services.
So we offer them services in three areas: transportation, nursing, and special education.
Right. So their nurse is paid for through this budget. Their transportation is paid for through the budget, as well as certain costs for special education services.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
I just have a generalized question. As far as the cost for each individual student that requires special education services, is there an identified cost for in-district as opposed to outplacement? And what are they? Not average, just.
So it's not an identified cost. So the cost for your per pupil expenditure is applied to every student in every district. And for Derby, it's $20,000 and change. So let's just say $20,000 per pupil. So you receive that in your ECS funding, which is the combination of the local portion and the state portion. What you don't receive is the funding for the services beyond the per pupil expenditure for regular education and special education students who require more services. So for, and you're not entitled to a reimbursement for any of those additional services until you have spent 4.5 times your per pupil expenditure. So in our case, in most all districts, if your per pupil expenditure is $20,000, you have to spend $92,000. 72 additional $1,000 per student before you're eligible to even apply for reimbursement through what's called the excess cost grant. And again, many people confuse ECS and excess cost, two different grants. ECS is your regular funding, which gets you to the per pupil expenditure, which is a combination of the 685, 689 that we get from the state and the local portion. The excess cost is reimbursement to districts, but only after you have spent 4.5 times with your own money the per pupil expenditure. So when we look at the number of students in our district who require significant services, we're responsible for those services up to $92,000. And then even after that, our reimbursement today is only 72 cents on the dollar after the $92,000. And every year we go back to the legislature and we fight. I just testified last week because they have underfunded the excess cost and now ECS, but so testified on both of those last week. So the governor took $150 million out of what was obligated for education reform funding, and they never budgeted the right number for excess costs. So they underbudgeted excess costs by $74 million. So that's an impact on every district across this state. For us, it's a $287,000 hit that we need to come up with because we can't not provide those services just because we don't think we should have to or because we don't have the money. We have to find the money. We are fighting that again this year. We're fighting for the $74 million. I submitted testimony today for Bill number 5212. That Representative Curry and the Education Committee came out with this week to put back everything the governor took out last week. So, but even in the new ECS numbers, we're losing over 100,000, and then in excess costs, we're losing 287. And we'll continue to fight for those funds to be put back, but we won't know until May whether that'll happen or not. And we're still responsible for these students. I want to share this just so if anybody, if you get any inquiries in terms of alliance funding versus operating and why are we even considering taking positions that were in grant funds and putting them into operating. One, they, I think the chairman referenced your mortgage earlier, because they're in your mortgage, you know? If you want to take out a home equity loan to help pay for them, or a second mortgage to help pay for them, but they're in your mortgage. The Alliance funds can't be used to supplant what we have a responsibility for as a community. And part of this is, let's at least put things where they belong, and then people can make their decisions. I get it. It's a difficult, difficult decision and process. But at least we all have a good understanding of where things actually do belong. And then how are we going to fund it? And this is just statutorily, we shouldn't be funding those positions outside of the operating budget. Those Alliance funds are for Alliance. And that's supplemental to your core educational program.
There was an article in the paper, I want to say in the last week, that specifically talked about how many municipalities throughout the state of Connecticut were being going to be in a place where there were significant shortfalls because of the Alliance grants going away, and the fact that many took those grants to fund actual positions that were needed within any school district.
Right. And I also don't want to jeopardize those funds by violating the grant guidelines and eligibility for the dollars. Because that's $2.1 million we put in jeopardy as a result of that. This slide just kind of breaks out for you. The positions we've moved into operating where they belong, but also the positions we've moved out of operating because I can fund them through Alliance. And it also represents those that are in ARP ESSERs today that will have to get moved to Alliance as a result of ARP ESSER grants going away. And you can see at the very top, so at Irving, it's a reduction of two core teachers based upon forecasted enrollment. And again, in tonight's conversation, these are just positions. These aren't people today. And how that all works out as we go through this process, we'll work through that. But I really just want to show that we're reducing teachers as enrollment goes down, just the same when enrollment goes up, we have to bring them back. As I'm reducing them because enrollment going down, I'm putting back in the teachers that belonged in here to begin with when they came back 2 years ago. But overall, there'll be a reduction of four between the two schools due to a decrease in enrollment. Any other questions on this? No, last slide, this kind of just gives you a little bit more detail in terms of the special education costs, which is really driving our increases for the majority of our ask and request tonight. And it just breaks it out a little bit more for you, but it shows you year over year since 1920, special education costs have increased, like all, but special education, the number of students have increased, not all at the same percent year over year, but they're increasing. And we've seen this across the country. There's a much higher rate of special education identification for a variety of disabilities that all communities have a responsibility for. Does anything jump out at you that you, because I'll share, if you have the question, somebody else probably does too, whether it's in this room tonight or on Zoom or in the public, I want to arm you with everything you need to be able to answer questions for your constituents who might reach out by email, text, phone call, or just see in the grocery store and ask a question about what's going on. And what I will share after this meeting tonight, you'll get an email, if you don't mind. It's simply going to be a form that you can submit a question to. You can submit your question right in the email, but at least in the form, I can collect all the questions. I'll put together an FAQ sheet from those questions and also share that out publicly as well so that we have an opportunity to educate as many people as we can. Because if people in this room have questions, many people in the public probably do too. We don't have an opportunity to be here tonight. So it'll be just a place to catch all the questions. We'll get the answers right back, and then we'll put it out on an FAQ as well. I'll include in that my cell so that you can call individually with questions that you might have, no matter when it is, what time of day. You're driving somewhere, you think of it. Before you forget, call, ask.
Dr. Conway?
Yes.
Hi, this is Pamini Patel again. On page 23, there is no dollar amount associated with the workers' comp, unemployment compensation, and other employee benefits. Can you explain to me how that works?
Yeah, those are paid for by the city.
By the city. Okay. Yep. That's what I thought. Okay, thank you. Sure. I'm sorry, clarification. Is that by city or by state of Connecticut?
By the city.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Alrighty.
We appreciate the presentation and also that you're going to post that online survey.
Sure.
For any questions that could arise in the future.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Number 9, approval of additional fund requests. A, add funds to the working balance. Appropriate $500,000 to the working balance from the fund balance. Is there a motion on the floor?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Isa Simmons, I'll make a second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? B, fire department transfer $73,137 from the working balance, line item 5020-58500-000 to fire maintenance and repairs, line item 4203-54300-000. Is there a motion?
Motion, Laura Wabno.
Is there a second?
Jose Rivera, second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
All.
Housing. Is there a motion on the floor?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item D, Sanitation Department.
Just for the record, that extra money for technology stuff, don't forget it was misrepresented when the whole process was done for without bids for the QDS, and the whole thing was done completely in violation of the charter. And then the bigger insult was after the fact, then there was an additional charge that nobody was even told about for that. So you're left to clean up yet another mess and a complete disgrace to the whole process with the lack of bidding, the lack of training, and the lack of availability of financial information. And it's made Mr. Hall's work much considerably more difficult.
Sure, definitely. And with respect to the technology as well as the sanitation. I didn't think so. Laura Wabner?
Here.
Was there an opposition that you stated for the transfer?
No opposition.
Okay, thank you so much. We voted. Line item D, sanitation service, sanitation department, recycling collection. I transfer $128,475 from the working balance, line item 5020-58500-000 to sanitation recycling collection, line item 4317-54103-000 for price increase. Is there a motion on the floor?
Make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second the motion, Laura.
Any discussion?
I have a question. The materials that we got right now, is that the materials that they said that they were going to produce in the last meeting?
Sorry about that. Issa Simmons, Derby. Remember we were discussing the materials that they were going to bring, more materials? Is it this? So no. They had remember they had miscalculated, but then I thought we were getting more information from sanitation. Did I get that right? Like more information?
Yeah, I
think the only thing that I'm aware of that's an open item is that there's currently an RFP out that we expect, you know, bids back around March, where potentially May, June could have maybe a different rate than what we're assuming. But at this point, this is our best guess at, and it's based on the current rates that were being charged for the May, June time period.
I think on the line item D gets us through what time period? Can you speak?
That should get us through the balance of this fiscal year for sanitation. But all right, so the sanitation is broken out into two line items. So if both transfers are approved, that will get everything with our sanitation through the fiscal year, through June 30th, 2024.
But we haven't received any responses from the RFPs.
And we responded with some questions, so we're still going back and forth with some more questions. We're probably going to end up extending the bid a week or so to give them a little more time to digest the information that we gave them. But March 8th, but like I said, either way, the earliest we thought that this was going to go into effect would be May 1st, right? So.
Yeah, no, and I think those are very good questions because, you know, the increase to the cost of the sanitation was 33%. That's significant.
that by going out to bid, we're going to receive numbers that are less. You know, I know it's unfortunate that we got, into this part so late. You know, right now we're what, eight months that have already been expended. But at this point, isn't this premature to vote on something that we can guess? But I thought, you know, our job was to allocate monies based on a specific number as opposed to, you know, what a best guess would be. And for the record, I'm new, so I don't know. That would just be my thought.
No, I agree.
It's not definite that you're going to get a better rate. We could end up paying something very similar. So to be able to have this money set aside for May and June to get us through to the end of the fiscal year, I think if we're going to be coming back to the table again anyway to do this again and probably be voting for the same exact amount of money. So there's two schools of thought. I understand what you're saying. We usually budget on an exact number that we've been given. That's either contractual. But at the same time, going out to RFP for something like this with the recycling and the refuse, you see the numbers there. Those are large numbers. Companies aren't coming back till May 8th. It's going to take time. You have to open all of these bids, go through them, has to go through the Board of Aldermen. Contracts have to be signed. It's probably going to be May by the time we even get an understanding of what that number is going to be. The bills are going to come due before they even render services. So I think it would be prudent to vote on it tonight to at least have the money in there. If there's any leftover money, it goes back into the general fund. So it's not.
So you are confident that we're not going to go over this number, that we're not going to be sure.
Right, we absolutely should not go over that number because that's what we're currently being charged.
But we want to put some money in the fund just in case because the bidding takes a while, right? So are we going to have enough money even if we have this?
So I think what Mr. Hall was going to say is right now we're paying $50,000 a month, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Extra right. Yeah, it's closer to 150 total, but yeah, right. You know.
So when these bids come back, hopefully these companies will realize that Derby is looking to make a partnership with someone at a better rate than what we're paying. So they know exactly what we're paying now. Hopefully they'll come back less than that. I wouldn't think that they're going to come back and say, oh yeah, we're going to charge you more than you're being charged now. I think they're in a position where we're really looking to exactly. So I don't know that it would go around. Again, we can't make guarantees, but good business sense means, you know, if I know exactly what you're paying right now and I want to get this contract, I'm going to bid lower than what you're currently paying.
Yep.
Thank you.
Because also chances are the company that is currently charging us this rate is also going to be coming into that bid. Sure. And to be competitive, will probably drop their rate.
Sure. Thank you.
And just to clarify, you know, Michael's correct. If it does come in a little bit cheaper and we can somehow make this go into effect sooner, then any savings would drop back into the general fund. Okay.
Okay. So line item D, the transfer. That was it, right? Okay. So we're on E?
No.
Is there a motion on the floor? Oh, is there any discussion? Was there a second?
Yeah, I think we were on the discussion part. So
I have Mike and Laura.
Isa Simmons, I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Line item E, Sanitation Department, Refuse Collection, transfer $505,138 from working balance 5020-58500-000 to sanitation refuse collection, line item 4317-54101-000 for price increase. Is there a motion on the floor?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Bimini Patel, second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 10, approval of intra-departmental transfers. A, fire department. Transfer 4,000 from new fire equipment, line item 4203-57392-000 to training and tuition, line item 4203-53200-000. Is there a motion on the floor?
Motion, Laura Wapner.
Is there a second?
Jose Rivera seconds.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Transfer 5,000 from hose, line item 4203-57393-000 to training and tuition, line item 4203-53200-000. Is there a motion?
Tina Silkoff, on motion.
Isa Simmons, I'll second.
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Bimini Patel, second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 7:07.
Hey, Doc. Yeah. Did you just...